Today is February 14th, Hey Adar Aleph, Parshat Truma. And this year, as I was preparing it and doing the research, I had way too much information, and I decided it could actually be used for both Truma and Tetzaveh. So I divided it into two. Each one is going to stand on its own. There might be a little bit of repetition, but they're going to be focused on different things. And this shiur is going to focus on the psukim, and next week is going to focus on a mishnah in Pirkei Avot. So we're going to begin this shiur with a gemara in Masechet Yoma, Daf Ayin Bet Amud Bet. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan says, Shlosha Zerim Hem. Zer is a word for crown. Just notice how it's spelt in the Hebrew here. Zayin Yud Resh. Okay? Shalmizbeach. So it's describing some of the accoutrements of the Mishkan, and three of them, in describing their construction and their different parts, are described with a crown. When the word for crown here is zer. The normal word for crown is keter or keser, but this is a zer. So the three things that are all described as having a zer, a crown, is the mizbeach, and this is the incense altar. There are two mizbeachs. So this is, and this is the one, this is what makes it a two-week shiur, because the mizbeach isn't mentioned until Parshat Tetzaveh. This is why I could extend it. Vishal Aron, so the Aron is the thing with the kruvim on top, the angels, and that contained the luchot in them, both the broken and the complete ones. I think a little portion of the man and different things. That's the Aron. Vishal Shulchan. The Shulchan is a special table that had on it each week the 12 lechem hapanim, usually translated as showbread, whatever that is. So the 12 loaves of bread were on the Shulchan, and they stayed fresh all week until they were eaten by the Kohanim. So those three things are all described with a crown. Now what's interesting here is that they're totally out of order in terms of how they appear in the Torah. The Aron is first, and then the Shulchan, and those are both in this week's Parsha of Truma. And finally, in next week's Parsha, the end of next week's Parsha, Tetzaveh, is the Mizbeach. So it's an interesting choice of order. I think it's because in the Gemara, it really wants to focus. No, it doesn't make any sense. Sorry. I was going to say it wants to focus in the Aron, which it will at the end, but they would have put that last, saved it for last, but that's not what they do. Shamizbeach. So this incense altar, Zacha Aron Venatlo. Aron married it, and he took it. And it represents the kehuna, the priesthood, because Aron was the first Kohen Gadol. Shel Shulchan, this table with the Lechem HaPanim on it, Zacha David Venatlo. David merited it, and he received the kingship, and he took it. Shel Aron Adayin Munachu. Shel Aron, so the Ark, it is, nobody claimed it. It's still there. It's an interesting choice of words here in the Gemara. It's still sitting and waiting to be acquired. Kol harotza lekach, anybody who wants to take it, yavo v'yikach, should come and take it. Shama tomer pachotu, maybe you'll say the Aron, which represents Torah, maybe you'll say that it's lesser than the other two. Talmud lomar, bi melachim yimlechu. The pasuk says in Mishlei, through me, kings will reign, meaning it's anthropomorphizing the Torah. Through Torah, kings will reign. So therefore, it's actually greater than the other ones. You can't have kingship unless you have Torah, as represented by the Aron. Rabbi Yochanan Rami, Rabbi Yochanan, he raises a contradiction. Kativ zer, v'karinan zer. So you see why I pointed out the spelling. In the Torah, it's not written with the yud. It's just written zayin resh. But we read it as if the yud is there. Zacha, if he merits it, naaset lo zer. If he merits these things, kahuna, priesthood, the kingship, and Torah, then it becomes for him a crown. Lo zacha, if he doesn't merit, so without the yud, it looks like zar, foreign. Zara himenu, it becomes stranger. Avodah Zara, we say, foreign worship. That's idolatry. It becomes foreign to him, and he will forget everything and he won't merit anything. So that is our introductory Gemara. Now we're going to see the Pesukim. So this is the very beginning of Parshat Truma, Pasuk Yod. Vesu Aaron, you should make the ark. Atse Shitim, out of acacia wood. And listen carefully to the measurements. See if you can notice any kind of pattern in the measurements. Amataim v'chatzi, so they're 2.5 cubits, arko, in length. Ve'ama v'chatzi rachbo, and an ama and a half in width. Ve'ama v'chatzi komato, and an ama and a half in its height. So that all of those measurements have something in common, and see, you'll see as we read the other measurements if you can see some sort of pattern coming up. Itzipito to zahav tahor, you shall overlay it with pure gold, mibayit michutz, from inside and outside, titzapena, you cover it. The asita alav, zer zahav saviv, and you will place upon it a golden crown all around. So you can see here how it's spelt zayin resh, but the vowel is a, zer, as if there were a yud there. And it says v'asita alav. We're going to see how that becomes significant. And you shall place upon it. Okay, and Rashi there tells us that this crown, zer zahav, is the symbol of the crown of Torah. So Rashi's, it's quotes from a different place, but it's, we can see based on this Gemara that the Aaron represents Torah. Actually, it didn't say it explicitly in the Gemara. So we're going to meet this Midrash, Shmot Rava, Lamed Dalet Bet, next week. Okay, and then the next one is Pasuk Chaf Gimel, where it describes the Shulchan. Vesita Shulchan Atze Shitim. So you'll make a Shulchan out of this acacia wood. Amatayim Arko. Its length is 2 amas. Ve'ama Rachvo. And its width is 1 ama. Ve'ama V'chetzi Komato. 1.5 amas is its height. V'tzipito to Zahav Tahor. You're going to overlay it with pure gold. Ve'asita lo zer zahav saviv, and you shall make for it a golden crown all around. So just notice, here we said ve'asita alav, upon it, and here we said ve'asita lo, for it. But it's still the same zer zahav saviv. And Rashi there says about this zer zahav, siman leketer malchut, it's a symbol of the crown of kingship. And how does he make that connection? She'ashulchan sham osher v'gdola. That the table represents wealth and greatness. Kamosha omrim shulchan melechim. Like they say, the royal table, or we even say in English, a table fit for kings. So the table symbolizes kingship. And then we have this, actually, is not going to, I don't think this is going to come up in this week's shiur, but next week it will be a part of it. I included the menorah here, which does not have a crown, but next week it'll be relevant. And then, finally, in Parshat Tetzaveh, we have this incense altar. Ve'asita mizbeach ha-miktar k'toret. You shall make an altar for bringing incense up in smoke. Atze shitim, you shall make out of acacia wood, ta'asavta. Ama arko, so it's 1 ama in length. Ve'ama rachvo, 1 ama in width. Ravuaya, so it'll be a perfect square, same length and width. Ama taim komato, and it'll be 2 amas high. Its horns shall be on top of it. Vitzipito to zahav, you cover it in gold, tahor, pure gold, et gagov, et kirotav, its roof and its walls all around, vet karnotav, and its horns, vasita lo zer zahav saviv, and you shall make for it a golden crown all around. And just something interesting with these horns on top of it. If you are next time you're in Jerusalem, pay attention to the roof of the King David Hotel. It was actually designed with horns like the altar. So just something interesting. And here Rashi says, there's Ahav, this is the incense altar. Siman hu leketer kuhuna. This is symbolized by the crown of priesthood. Okay, and here's my little visual for you. So you see here's the Aron inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and here is the Mizbeach and the Shulchan and the Menorah. So these are all the elements. We're not going to talk about the Menorah this week, but we will talk about it next week. Okay, so the Ramban quotes Rashi. This is about the Shulchan. I'm just going to read it in English. This is a symbol of the crown of royalty, for the table represents wealth and prominence, just as rabbis say, the royal table. This is Rashi's language. And this explanation is indeed the truth, for in this lies the secret of the table in the Mishkan. For since the time that the world came into existence, Hashem's blessing did not create something from nothing. Instead, the world follows its natural course. Meaning, when it's the first pasuk in the Torah, Bereshit bara Elokim et Hashemayim, God created the heavens and the earth, the word bara symbolizes something from nothing, and we haven't had that type of creation, ex nihilo in Latin or yesh ma'ayin in Hebrew, since that time of creation. Everything follows its natural course. For it is written, and God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. This is at the end of the creation where he says, tov ma'od. But when the root of the matter already exists, the blessing descends upon it and increases it. Just as Elisha said, tell me what do you have in the house? And then the blessing came upon the pot of oil that she already had. And this is the case in Malachim Bet of a very poor woman whose husband had died, and they were going to take her debtors were going to take her child away from her. The Midrash tells us that the woman was the wife of the Navi Ovadia, who hid and saved hundreds of Nevi'im when Jezebel, was trying to kill them all. And so also with the case with the showbread. Oh, and in the case of Elijah, Eliyahu had said the jar of meal was not spent, neither did the cruse of oil fail. And this is in Malachim Aleph with Eliyahu and a different woman who also was poor and was about to use up her last store of food. And Eliyahu insisted she make food for him, and the food lasted through the famine. And so also is the case with the lechem hapanim on the table, the showbread, upon it resting the rest of the blessing, and from it came abundance to all Israel. That is why the rabbis have said every priest who received even only as much as the size of a bean of the showbread ate it and was satisfied. So this lechem hapanim would be divvied out to the priests after it had been sitting on this shulchan for more than eight days. I think it was cooked Thursday night and then would have eaten the following Saturday night. And it was satisfying, and from it came all blessing and satisfaction to Israel. And I think my point in bringing this here was to show you just the physical blessing from the Lechem Hapani. Okay, then we have Rabbeinu Bechaya, and we'll also read it in English. You are to construct on it a golden crown all around it. So this is talking about the Aron. Bishulchan u'mizbeach k'toret. So when the Torah issues similar instructions concerning the table and the altar, the wording is not alav on it, but for it, lo. So we have alav with regard to the Aron, and for the mizbeach and the shulchan, it says lo. I pointed that out to you. The reason is that table itself was a symbol of the crown of royalty, whereas the altar was a symbol of the crown of priesthood. The crown of priesthood, as well as the crown of royalty, is acquired by its wearer at birth through inheritance. So this might be what the Gemara was hinting at, that they were claimed, that the kahuna was claimed by Aaron, and it goes forever after to his descendants, and it's traced by lineage. And the same thing with the kingship that was claimed by David. The kings went directly through the line of David, and we continue praying today for a restoration of that line of kingship. And that's why it uses the pronoun lo, to him. The crown of priesthood, as well as the crown of royalty, is acquired by its wearer at birth through inheritance. The crown of Torah is not acquired by birth. The word lo implies that this crown is an integral part of the table or altar, respectively. It belongs to him. That's what lo means. Seeing that the crown of Torah has first to be earned by the eventual wearer, the word alav upon him indicates that it will be placed on the Torah scholar at the appropriate time at his ordination. So unlike the Kohen or the king who has that label put upon him at birth just by virtue of being born to the right line, Torah has to be earned. Hereditary royalty in Israel was the exclusive right of kings descended from David, whereas hereditary priesthood was reserved for the descendants of Aaron. The word lo in a similar sense is used by the Torah in connection with the duty of the king to write two Torah scrolls for himself. As we read in Devarim 17:18, the Ketav lo et Mishnah HaTorah, he is to write for himself two copies of the Torah. The Torah immediately continues to supply the reason for this by writing, in order that the days of his dynasty be long ones. We find something similar in connection with the priesthood, where the Torah writes in Bamidbar after Pinchas had been elevated to the priesthood, Vayta lo u'le zaro acharav, it shall be for his and for his offspring. So they both use the lamet. Seeing the crown on the ark represents a different kind of concept, one based on yichus atzmo, personal achievement. The preposition the Torah chose to use in connection with it is alav instead of lo. So we make this, there's something unique and special about the Aaron and the availability of Torah to everybody, as opposed to the shulchan or the altar. And continuing in Rabbeinu Bachaya, a midrashic approach to this wording, which we'll see this midrash next week more in depth. The reason the Torah writes the word alav in connection with the crown on top of the ark is distinct from the way it describes the crowns of the table and the altar respectively, is that the crown of Torah is considered the most superior of the three crowns mentioned in the Mishnah in Avot we quoted before. In that Mishnah we will also see next week. By writing the word alav above, the Torah indicates that he who has acquired the crown of Torah is as if he has also acquired the other crowns mentioned in that Mishnah. This thought is also expressed by the word saviv around it. The crown of Torah is all-embracing. Note that the word zar for crown is spelt without the letter yud. This is a hint that unless a person merits wearing this crown, Torah is considered alien to him. Zar, strange, uninitiated. The assumption is that because of the vowel tsere, which is the two dots, under the letter zayin, the normal spelling of the word ought to have been zayin yud resh. Okay. So that is Rabbeinu Bachai. Now we have the shlat and the kli yakar, and I just want to share with you, I was deciding which order to put them in, who came first, so I was looking a little bit more carefully at their biographies, and I thought this was super cool. So the shlat is Rabbi Yeshayahu Avram Halevi Horowitz. If you know anybody with the last name Horowitz, they are probably a descendant of the shlat, which stands for Shnei Luchot Habrit, the two Tablets of the Covenant, and that's the name of his famous book and the name he took on. So he was born in 1560 to a family of rabbis. And then if you look, and he lived in Prague, or he didn't live in Prague, sorry. He immigrated to Israel from Prague, where he was the rabbi of Jerusalem, and that's where he wrote this famous book, Shnei Luchot Habrit, and he gave it to his sons in Prague to publish it. And it was first published by his son, Reb Shabtai. Okay? And now, look at the Kli Yakar. So he was born in Poland, but he, in 1604, he became the assistant rabbi to the Maharal in Prague. So he was born a little bit before the Shla, but look what happens here. He had many disciples, the most famous being Rabbi Yom Tov Lipman, who wrote the commentary on the Mishnah, and Rabbi Shabtai Halevi Horowitz, son of the Shla. So I just really appreciated that connection that I didn't realize. He died in 1619, and the Shla died in 1630. So I put the Shla first because I really wanted to end with the Kli Yakar, but I was really happy to find that connection. Okay, v'hine shlosha zerim hem. So there are these three crowns, and he quotes the three psukim that we just looked at, and the first two in our Parsha Truma, the last one in Tetzaveh, Kedula El, as he mentioned before, in Ot 17, which was very, very long. It's fascinating. You can actually find it in Sefaria with English translation. Maybe I'll bring in some of it next week. I'm not sure. It was really long. V'amru zerim v'lo ketarim, that it says Zerim, this word for crowns, and not ketarim, which is a more common word for crowns. Lermoz lama shamru, to hint at what was said in the Gemara that we looked at. Zacha, if he merits it, zer betzeri, then it becomes zer, where the yud is implied in the two dots under the zayin. Lo zachar, zar bepatach. If he didn't merit, then it's zar with the one line, which is the patach under the zayin. And then he gives some really interesting examples. V'hazar hakarev yumat. So in Bamidbar, when it's talking about bringing korbanot, if a non-kohen brings a korban, he will die. He is not entitled to bring it. Ha'inyan hu mi she'ochez b'torah, lomed amanat lishmor v'lasot l'kayem. So this matter here is that one who holds on to the Torah, and he learns for the sake of guarding and doing and keeping, Ashrav, that's his happiness, his greatness. Azhu muhtar beketer, then he is crowned with a crown. V'imhu baal Torah, v'na'e doresh, v'eino mekayem. But if he knows a ton of Torah, and he speaks very nicely about it, but he doesn't do any of the mitzvot, Azay nasa zar lagamer v'nitrachek. Then it's going to become completely foreign from him, and he will be distanced from it. The onsho kefel kiflaim, and his punishment is double, bar minan me'am ha'aretz she'oseh shelo kogan. His punishment is quadruple that of an ignoramus who doesn't do things properly. Kihu haya karov v'nasa zar, because he was close, this Talmid Chacham, this person who knew Torah, and he made himself into a stranger. Al kein hazar ha-karev yumat. And that's why the stranger who comes close will die. Al kein ha-chai yiten et libo. And therefore, the one who lives will give his full heart. So I just felt like the Shla made that even more clear of the zar versus zer and the importance of taking Torah to heart, literally. And that's how you merit the crown of the Torah. Okay, now the Kli Yakar. We already looked at who he was. So this is in Pasuk Yod, talking about the Aron. And he's going to address all three of the crowns. V'terem boi l'daber behem. Before I speak about them, Omer v'derech klal, ashlosha rashei kalim, asher alehem naser zahav. I'm going to speak in a more general way about the three main accoutrements, vessels, that upon them was made a golden crown. Vehem Aron, Shulchan, Mizbeach. And this is the ark, the table, and the altar. Vechazal Amru, and our rabbi said, and this is the Gemara we started with, Shehem Keneged Shloshak Terim, that they correspond to three crowns. Keter Torah, Keter Kehuna, Keter Malchut. The crown of Torah, the crown of the priesthood, the crown of the kingship. Vehabet Yamin, look right. I'm not sure if he means something deeper by that. I don't know what it means. V'ra'eh ki shlosha kelim elu hayu chalukim b'midot ha'amot. And you'll see that these three vessels were divided in their measurements by amas, this biblical measurement of an amma, which is literally means an arm's length. Ki ha'aron hayu kol amotav shvurot. So with regard to the Aron, all of its measurements are broken. I'm going to explain all this. We're going to go back and look at it. V'amizbeach hayu kol amotav shlemot. And with regard to the altar, all of its measurements were complete. V'hashulchan hayu miktzatan shvurot u'miktzatan shlemot. Halo davar hu. With regard to the shulchan, some of its measurements were broken and some of its measurements were complete. So let's see what he's saying. So here we have the measurements for the Aron, the Ark, and it's So it's Amataim Vechetzi is its length, and Amataim Vechetzi and a half is its width, and Ama Vechetzi is its height. So everything is with a half. It's broken. It's not complete. And then here you have the Shulchan, and you have the Amataim, it's a complete length of two amas, and it's a complete ama for its width, but when it comes to its height, it's an ama v'chetzi, it's broken, it's with a half. And then the altar is one complete ama its length, one complete ama its width, and two complete amas its height. Nothing broken, there's no halves with regard to the mizbeach. So that's what he's referring to. And now he's going to explain the significance of that. V'hakarov alai lomar b'ze. So it seems it's near to me to say on this. Lefi shamru chachamim, just as our rabbis said, b'malot habit l'mala mimcha, ki al yidei ze yidme b'nafsho ki hu chaser min shlemut. When it comes to, I think, spiritual heights, look above you, because then it will seem to his soul that he's missing something from completeness. V'lo higia l'madrigat chaveron. He has not yet reached the level of his friend. V'yavo lihitkan utbo. And he'll come to be jealous of him. V'yosef al shlemut chachmato. And he'll push himself to add more to the completeness of his wisdom. Ki kinat sofrim tarbe chochma. Because the jealousy of scribes increases wisdom. So this is the one kind of jealousy that the rabbis say is a good kind of jealousy. When you're jealous of your friend in their accomplishments in the spiritual realm or the intellectual realm, and it pushes you to learn more and to become a better person. That's the only good kind of jealousy. Aval be'inyanei ha'olam hazeh, but when it comes to matters of this world, dehainu kol hatzlachot ha'gufaniyot ke'osher kavod, that is to say, all of the physical success, like riches and honor, yistakel b'mishehu lamata mimenu, then you should look to somebody below you on the status. U'besiba zo yismach b'chelko. And for this reason, he'll feel happy with his portion. Beroto ki yesh lo rav yoter min harbi anashim, when he sees that he has much more than many people. U'kmo she'amru, and just like we said in Yevamot, hamitpalel yitein einav lamata v'libo lamala. The one who davens should put his, he should look down, but he should direct his heart above. Ze hamitpalel al tzorchei hanefesh v'haguf, yitein libo, haro'eh harbe chokhma v'dat, b'mishehu lamala mimenu. So the one who's davening on the needs of his soul and his body, spiritual and physical needs, he should put his heart above, so he'll see a lot of wisdom and knowledge for those who are above him. V'yitpalel el Hashem la'atot levavo el ha'chokhma. And he'll daven to Hashem to direct his heart to that wisdom, she'yagia ba lamalat hashlemim, that he'll get to this level of completeness. Shekin Shlomo lo sha'al mi'im Hashem ki im she'yiten lo lev shomea. Shlomo only davened Hashem for a hearing heart. Ve'enav haro'ot bechemdot haguf, and the eyes that would look at the desires of the body, hamukshot, the physical senses, yiten b'mi shehu lamata mimenu. He should direct that to the one who is below him, b'madrigan, the level, v'az yismach b'chalko, and then he'll be happy with his portion. V'lo yivakesh avribui osha, shekein Shlomo, right? And he won't request more riches. And this is what Shlomo said in Mishlei, give me neither poverty nor wealth. V'alkein hayu kol amotaron shvurot. And that is represented in the broken measurements, the fact that all three measurements for the Aron, the Ark, had a half next to it. They were broken. Leharot shekol adam yidbeth benafsho ki ilu hu chaser min shlemut hachachma. That each person should envision himself in his soul as if he's lacking from completion in wisdom. And the Aron represents Torah, remember. Betzarich limdod adayin lema'ot chasrono, and he needs to still measure to fill up what's lacking. Ki kol ama chasera, because each measurement, each ama is missing. It only has a half attached to it. Mora al davar chaser. And this points to something that's missing. Hatzarich sheim la'u chasrono, that you need to complete it, whatever it's lacking. Kach ikar ha'chokhma, this is the main principle of wisdom. Me'ayin timtza, kach ikar, this is the main thing. Ha'chokhma me'ayin timtza, that we, there's a pasuk in Iyov, but wisdom, whence will it be found, and where is the place of understanding? Meaning we can never get complete or perfect in our wisdom or understanding. Mimi shechoshevet atzmo le'ein b'chaser, from someone who thinks of himself as lacking, avalo b'mi shehu chacham b'enav, but not somebody who's wise in his own eyes, hato'e b'etzmo, who makes himself make mistakes, le'mor shekvar higia el tachlita, saying to himself that he already arrived at his purpose, ki ezehu chacham, because as we learn in Pirkei Avot, who is somebody who is wise? Halomed mikol adam, the one who learns for everybody, hachoshev shehu chaser min hachachma, the one who considers himself lacking in wisdom, and he always has to learn something new. And so too, in the knowledge of the existence of God, blessed be he, they said, in this book, Bechinat Olam, which I looked it up, I hadn't heard of it. It's by Yedaya Hapnini from the 14th century, and it's a long poem about the vicissitudes of this world and the corresponding need to avoid the pleasures of this world, to rather cling to the wisdom found in the study of Torah and philosophy. So he says, Tachlit ha'yedia, the purpose of knowledge, sheneda shelo nedacha, is that we should know that we don't know you, with a capital Y, God. That's the purpose of knowledge, to understand that we don't know you. Ve'al kein hayu kol amot aron shvurot be'orach uvekoma. And therefore, all of the measurements of the Aron, representing wisdom, were broken, had halves on them, in length, in height, and in width. Keneged, and what do these three things, length, height, and width, correspond to? Keneged, shlosha dvarim ha'omdim, keneged masigei ha'chochmotam. They correspond to the three things that stand in the way of us achieving chokhmah. And what are they? And he takes this, I don't know how I figured this out, because there's obviously no citation here. I think I was looking up what something meant and found the source. So these three things that we're about to read are all in the Mora Nevuchim, the Guide for the Perplexed, and the Rambam is explaining why it's difficult to learn. So the first one is Kotzer Da'at HaMasig. The subject itself is difficult, subtle, and profound. No, that's the second reason. He takes it out of order from the Rambam. The intelligence of man is at first insignificant. Kotzer Da'at HaMasig, the shortness of the knowledge of the person trying to understand. The Omek HaMusag, and the depth of the subject matter. So you see, these are just interesting words. Masig is the one trying to grasp it, trying to understand it. And the musag is that which is grasped or understood, the subject matter. And the musag is, I think, actually that's not good Hebrew, but it means I have no idea. No, I think that is what they say in Israel. In the musag, I have no idea. That's how you say it. Ve'ora chahatzaot, and the exertion that needs to go into mastering it. So these three things, the intelligence of man is insufficient, the subject is deep and difficult, and the preparatory studies are of long duration. And those three things are all mentioned in Mora Nevuchim. And then he says, and this is really beautiful, ki hakoma hainu haomek. So the height of something is the depth of it. It makes perfect sense. Ki omek hadavar miyim tsanu vehu omek hamusag. Because who can find the depth of a thing, and this is the depth of a concept. Veharochev omed keneged kotzer dat hamasig. And the length, the width, represents the limitation of the one trying to understand it, the intellectual limitation. Vehaorach, the length, that is the amount of effort you need to put in to understanding. And then he quotes this pasuk from Iov, Amuka mishol ma teda, deeper than the grave, what do you know? And then in a different, the next pasuk in the same parak, Aruka mi'eretz mida v'rachva mini, the heights of the heaven, longer than the earth is its measure, and wider than the sea. That's it, longer than the earth. So you have in these two pasukim in Iov, you have height, width, and length, these three of the three dimensions that we have, and that's what each one of the difficulties represents, and that's why it's so difficult and we can't understand things, and that's why when it comes to the Aron, all of the measurements were broken, because we can never think that we've achieved anything or made any kind of level of completion in our knowledge. Aval ha-shulchan ha-meramez l'keter malchut, but when it comes to the table that hints at the crown of kingship, and all of the personal successes that Israel merits to him from this, the height of this table. And that's what we saw in the Ramban, describing how all of the bracha, the physical sustenance of the children of Israel, came from this table. It flowed from it. Hayu amotav k'tatam shlemot. Some of their measurements were complete. Because any enlightened person should be happy with his physical portion. And it should appear to his soul as if he has everything he needs. And he's not missing a single physical need. When Yaakov and Esav had their reunion, and Yaakov had sent ahead so many gifts, Esav tries to politely refuse the gifts, and he says, Yesh li rav, I have a lot. And Yaakov responds by saying, Yesh li kol, I have everything. Even though I just gave you this massive gift from my own personal wealth, I still have everything I need. And that's how we should all view our physical lives. Umnam, but however, ktsatam hayushvarot, one of the measurements when it comes to the table was broken. Let me just remind you, since we have time, what that looked like. So the table, it was amatayim archo, two amas was its length, ve'ama rachvo, and one ama was its width, but its height was an ama and a half. So that was the broken one. Okay, so why is it broken? Leharot shelo yashlim ha'adam ta'avato mikol v'kol. To show that a person should not complete his desires from every little thing, his physical desires. V'lo yitein et ha'chomer kol avat nafsho. And he shouldn't give in to materialism every single desire of his soul. Ela tzarich shishbor ta'avato. Rather, he needs to break down his appetite or his desire. And it's for this very same reason that whenever we talk about bread, which represents physicality, it's used often in a metaphor with breaking. And we have that in English also. We break bread with somebody. As it says, this is when the brothers went to go get food from Yosef without knowing he was Yosef in Egypt. Shivru lanu ma'at ochel. Give to us a little bit of bread, of food. And the word for give is break. Break for us a little bit of food. And it also says, and this is from the curses in Vayikra, b'shivrei lechem mata lechem. B'shivrei lechem mata lechem. When I break for you the staff of bread, and 10 women will bake your bread in one oven, and they will bring back your bread by weight, and you will eat, yet not be satisfied. So again, breaking when it comes to eating. And then he says he's going to explain this later. I don't think we're going to get to that. So that's why with material goods, we need to feel like we have everything represented by the complete measurement. But we also need to break those desires so that we don't indulge and go overboard in that. Aval mizbeach haketoret, hayukol amotav shlemi. But when it comes to the incense altar, which we read about next week, all of its measurements are complete. And also the other altar mentioned in this week's parsha for the Ola Korban, the one that's completely burnt up, all of its measurements are complete also, but it doesn't have a crown. Because the matter of both of these altars is to complete a person who's lacking in terms of his actions. Mashlim chesrono, because anybody who comes to atone on man actually completes whatever is lacking in him. Ki mizbeach ha'ola, the ole altar, mechaper al guf hachote, it atones the body of the sinner, al yedei hakravat gufot shel ba'alei chayim, by way of bringing as a sacrifice the bodies of animals. So your soul in the times of the temple would be given an atonement through the burning of the bodies of the animals. So you would then rise to a higher level of perfection, spiritual perfection. Umizbeach haketoret, and the incense altar, mechaper al haneshama, it atones on the soul, beruach elokim haola, and the spirit of God that goes up, hi lamala ke'ashan haketoret. It's at the highest heights like the smoke of the incense. And therefore, all of their measurements are complete. And then he's going to go on to explain more of the Mishkan and its vessels. So the Kli Yakar is taking something that seems so dry and boring, the measurements, and he's reading into it this pattern that gives us such a deeper understanding of our intellect, our wisdom, and how we should never be satisfied, our physical needs and desires, and how we should always be satisfied physically, but we should break our desires so that we don't indulge and become gluttonous, and then our spiritual selves, which we should have trust that when we are doing the right thing, we'll be complete and close with God, and forgiven and close with God. And it's just a beautiful illustration of those three aspects of the altar. We're going to end with the Sfas Emes. Shlosha Zarim, There are three crowns, Zar Be'aron, V'Shulchan, U'Mizbeach. So the ark, the table, and the altar. Keter Torah, V'Kinhuna, U'Machut, which correspond to Torah, priesthood, and kingship. V'Huva Be'Rashi, and we read that in Rashi. V'Ha'inyanhu, Shekol Elu Hem Me'orarim, U'Mamshichim, Ezer V'Siyua, Me'olam Ha'elyon. All of these things awaken and draw forth help and aid from the higher world, Shehakoin yeshlo koach leorer beolamot elyonim, that the coin has the power to awaken in the highest worlds, ayde avodah shelo, by way of his work. So all of these things were in the Mishkan, that the Kohen would be doing his work, and he could draw forth these powers from above. Ukmochen melech Yisrael, and so too could the king of Israel. Ukmochen, and also in the same vein, Talmid Chacham, a wise person who learns Torah. Ha'oskim b'Torah l'shem shamayim, the one who learns Torah for the sake of heaven. V'ze perush ha'keter shehu or makif u'me'ir l'mala. And that's why it's called a crown, because, and he describes kind of a halo, it's this surrounding light that illuminates l'mala from above, mikfi madrigat gufa adam, above the level of the body of man. It's right above him, like a halo. V'zeu madricha sheniten l'bnei Yisrael, and this is the level that was given to Bnei Israel, that's unique from all the nations of Dei Ha'elilim who worship idols. That we have this power to draw forth from the upper worlds. And this is what's read, and these are other snippets of psukim and other places in the Torah. You shall be for me a kingdom of priests. He's not God here. This is before the Ten Commandments. He's not talking to the priests when he says this. He's talking to all of us. You will be for me a kingdom of priests. Hu keter malchut v'kehuna. This represents both the crown of malchut, mamlechet, kingship, and kehuna, kohanim. V'goy kadosh, and when God calls us a goy kadosh, memorez al ha-Torah shehu kodesh. This is a hint to the Torah that it is holy. So even though in physical reality these things were only used by the Kohanim, they represent the power and the possibility for all the Jewish people to reach higher and higher levels through all of these things, that when we key into the Torah, we get this crown of Torah, and we can imagine ourselves as a mamlechet Kohanim, with both the royalty and the priesthood and the responsibility that entails, in terms of how we relate to Torah and how we act upon the mitzvot about which we learn. Okay. Shabbat shalom.